as I sought the Lord on what to use for our passage and sermon today, I felt very clearly that this was where he wanted us to look at today. Put it in context, it's several verses, but the primary verse of our sermon, of our message today, is John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. If you'll follow along as I read. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and your truth and all that that means. Thank you, Lord, that you sent us that greatest and highest, even as the writer of Hebrews said, the fullest revelation of yourself, the person of your Son, the Word, who became flesh. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you fill this place as we are worshiping, and that you fill our hearts and our minds, and that you have your way among us and draw us to Jesus, that we may know that we have been in the presence of the Lord, as you have promised to those who gather in your name. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God said a lot, as the book, the communion passage said, a lot of revelation through a lot of different prophets and people and teachers, and revealing himself and making himself known. And you know, we didn't maybe get it as fully, and men and women, people didn't get it maybe as fully and completely and accurately as God wanted, which is kind of something that people are good at doing. Kind of like a story I heard this week about a fellow driving his Volkswagen in a big major city down the freeway, went right through the middle of the city, giant city, and it just so happened that there was a livestock truck was passing through the city and on the same freeway, and as he's going down the road, a pig fell out of the truck and onto the road, and this guy in his Volkswagen slammed on his brakes and stopped because he didn't want to get run over, so he pulled over and jumped out real fast and all that traffic, grabbed that pig up, and he didn't know what to do with him, so he threw him in the seat of his car and he took off as fast as he could go chasing that truck. On down the freeway a little bit, there was, of course, a cop. He was sitting there with his radar out, and here come his Volkswagen flying down the road. So he whipped out and turned his siren on and pulled the man over. And said, "Man, you're going way over the speed limit. What are you doing?" And he saw this, looked over in the seat of this Volkswagen. "There's a pig," he said. He said, "And what are you doing with that pig in your car?" He said, "Well," said, "I was going down the freeway, and this livestock truck was going down through there. And of course, you know, we're in the middle of a big city," he said, "and this pig fell out of the road, and I couldn't just leave it, so I got it, and I started chasing that truck, trying to catch it to give it back to them." The policeman said, "Sir, you can't do that. You'll break every speed limit there is around here. You can't do that." The policeman said, "You just take that pig to the zoo. Just take that pig to the zoo." He said, "Okay, I will." So he took off in his Volkswagen with the pig, and the policeman got back in his car shaking his head, went on through his day, and, you know, went back to work the next morning and got back out in the same place that he usually is assigned to on the freeway, and watching cars go by, and this Volkswagen went by, and he looked real close, and it was that same guy. And there was a pig still sitting there in the seat beside him. So he pulled out again and pulled the man over again. He said, "Man, what are you doing? What are you doing driving back through here again with that pig? Why do you still have that pig? What are you doing?" The man, he said, "I told you to take that pig to the zoo." The man said, "I did, and we had so much fun, we're going to the beach today." We don't always get the right interpretation of what's meant by what's being said, and I'm afraid that's happened a lot when it comes to God. And I'm afraid that even since Christ has come, there's a whole lot that people get in their heads and think it's right and it's true, but it's just not really accurate about God. So God sent His Son, God the Word. And of course, this is the season that we celebrate the coming of Christ, the incarnation, Advent, as it's called. And that's what John is talking about here. If you want to call it that, this is John's Christmas story. But this is the clearest and the most precise expression of what took place there in that manger, that barn, if you want to call it, that stable outside of the inn at Bethlehem that Roy did such a great job singing about. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He goes to great lengths to make it clear that the Word is God. And the Word is the Creator. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He makes it very clear that the Word is God. That the Word is a person. That's why He calls Him He. One person interprets that, one person explains that about the Word and His divinity as saying that He is of the same stuff as God. The Word is God. And in our verse today, which is really what the Holy Spirit I sensed speaking to me when I was seeking where to go for this Sunday, the Word became flesh. That was it. That's the focus. The Word became flesh. That's what the incarnation is. In Genesis 2:7, in the history of creation, in Genesis 2:7, the scripture says, "And the Lord God formed man." We know from the rest of that story his name is Adam, but the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That joining of the dust of the ground with the breath of God, and man became a living being. Man came to being a man. And all that goes together to make a human being. And that Adam sinned. He fell. He lost his crown. And he died spiritually, separated from God in that moment, and physically. His physical body experienced death. And then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." You see, it's very clear in the scripture that the first Adam, the man God created in the garden and took the rib out of his side and made woman, that Adam, created by God, became a living being, became a human. But here the eternal Word became flesh. The same thing happened without creation, because He is eternal. Adam, the first one, became a living soul, a living, breathing, thinking, feeling, acting person. A human being, body, soul, and spirit. Free, with free choice, with freedom to choose. With the ability to choose wrong, to sin. And sin he did. The Word, the only begotten, and that's literally the translation of this passage here later in verse 14. The only begotten God. The Word, the Son, became flesh. The Creator became, took upon Him the form, Philippians 2 tells us, of the creature. He became flesh. He, God, became a living soul in the way that Adam was, a living, breathing, thinking, feeling, acting person. A human being, body, soul, and spirit, with a free will and the potential to be tempted and sin. But sin he did not. Sin he did not. Jesus, God, loved you and I enough, loved the world enough to lay aside His divinity, His eternality, and become one of us. Still the Word, still the Creator, still the one who Hebrews says upholds all things by the word of His power, and yet all of that set aside for a moment and for a purpose. He came and became one of us. You talk about condescension. And yet, He did that because He loved us and He wanted us to know Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God's heart and God's desire. He wants us to know Him. In fact, that is the essence of eternal life. That's what Jesus said in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know You, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom You have sent." We are so good at getting it wrong when we hear this or hear that. We're pretty good at going to the zoo instead of dropping it off. And so God sent His Son, so that His Son, as it says, could dwell among us. so he could live with us like we live. Life among humans, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of us. He could pitch his tent among us. And there among us, he could become our faithful, our feeling, our compassionate high priest and representative. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." That's the wonder of Christmas and of the incarnation, is that he came as far as he had to come to know us experientially. I mean, he knew us in the omniscience of God and knowing everything, but he came and became one of us in his love, in his compassion, so he could know us experientially and represent us before the throne. He lived among us. He dwelt among us, it says in our verse today. He saw us. It says that a lot of times about Jesus. One place in particular, it says he saw the multitudes as sheep having no shepherd, and he had compassion on them. He sees us. He doesn't just see us in general. He sees us personally, intimately, without limitation, and compassionately. And he did that. And while he was doing that, he gave us the opportunity to see him. And that's what our verse tells us. We beheld his glory. We looked. To behold means more than just a glance, just seeing something as you're driving down the road on, you know, and all that goes by. It means to look at, to consider, to take note of, to get to know. That's why God has in these last days spoken to us. And isn't it interesting that the writer of Hebrews, who wrote that some 2,000 years ago, called it the last days? How last of the last days do you think we're probably in now? Christ is coming, and I believe very soon. But Christ is the full, complete. And that's what the incarnation was about, for us to see and know as fully as we possibly can who God is. Colossians 1:15-19, speaking of Jesus, says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Jesus, the preeminent one, the Word who is with God, the Word who is God, the Word who is the Creator, became one of us, became flesh, and lived among us so we could see his glory, his uniqueness, his specialness, his goodness, his radiance, his splendor, the attractiveness of his character. No one has ever lived that's more attractive than Jesus Christ. I think I already mentioned to you in our Sunday school class one day, Kathy was talking about the fact that they had started watching The Chosen, and it's just, you can't help it. Watching that show You can't help but think when you watch this person, and this is just an actor, but he's portraying Jesus, and all you can think of is, wow! He's so wonderful. And he is. And we beheld his glory, that is, those who lived on the earth, and they wrote it down for us to see. But the day is coming for all who have said yes to him, all who have believed in him, all who belong to Jesus, to literally see him and be with him for eternity. And the wow we've got now isn't anything compared to the wow we're going to have then. We beheld his glory. And the glory of God, the glory that the Word showed us, was full of grace and truth. The word full literally means superabounding, overflowing, more than can be measured. As far as I know, it's the same word that was used describing the boat whenever Jesus filled their nets. They pulled all those fish in the boat, and what happened? The boat started sinking. There was more fish than they could contain. Christ is that full of grace and truth. And it's never one or the other. You can find this all through the Word in the Old Testament also. The glory of God is his loving kindness. That's what the word is in the Old Testament for grace and truth. And with God, in Christ, it's superabounding, immeasurable, overflowing. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor, blessing, acceptance, welcome, love. And truth is that which is unchanging, untainted, pure, holy, right. The word that's used here and in the Old Testament for truth primarily carries with it the idea of faithfulness. That which you can count on. That which does not change. That which never falters. And that's who God is. That's who Jesus came, revealing him to be. The Almighty. The Holy. The Eternal. Who's full of grace and truth. He offers to us his favor, forgiveness, love, acceptance, welcome. And he offers it faithfully and without changing. Jesus came to show us who God really is, to debunk all of the wrong notions and thinking and superstitions that people get about God, even Christians. And to bring us back to God in forgiveness, redemption, restoration, and fullness. Because his grace is full and his truth and faithfulness is unending, you're going to run out of sin before he runs out of grace. He has and is faithful to his promises and the grace that they carry for you and for me, for everyone who says yes to him. That's why we get baptized, or at least part of it, is so that we can say to the world, I believe that baby is the Word who grew up and died on the cross to take my sins and was buried, but it didn't end there. He rose again and he lives today and he's seated at the Father's right hand and he's coming again. But this time he won't be asking and knocking, wanting a room in the inn. He will be coming in charge. He will be coming in power, and his glory the inn, a manger, a stable, the world will not be able to contain. That's who this season is all about. The Word who became flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, that point us to the living Word of God, who is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I thank you for that, for the privilege we have to gather and worship you. Lord, we praise you for it and ask that your Word and the magnitude of your love and the coming and condescension of Christ grips our hearts. In Christ's name we pray, amen.